Good afternoon. As we all know, Palmer Amp can be very difficult to control and cut and has caused lots of problems over the years, and largely just due to its prolific seed production, which one female plant has been known to produce approximately 500,000 seeds. So you have one glyphosate-resistant Palmer Amp in your field, and it can quickly cause a lot of problems. It has a rapid growth rate, and it can cause yield reduction due to its overcompetition for light, nutrients, and water. Palmer Amp is a troublesome weed in cotton because of its ability to develop resistance to herbicides, such as the Group 3s, your Group 2 herbicides, and your Group 9s. And since 2006, glyphosate-resistant biotypes have caused the most troublesome due to the majority of cotton production acres are glyphosate-tolerant varieties. Dicamba herbicide causes uncontrolled cell division and vascular tissue, which is observed by twisting and epinasty of the growth point. It is registered for selective broadleaf weed control and many grass crops such as your pastures, corn, wheat, sorghum, and non-crop lands. Application timings can be a pre-plant burn downs and a post-emergence application. Dicamba will provide excellent control of amaranth species. However, the size at the time of your applications is critical. There's a dicamba tolerant cotton being developed by Monsanto. It will be marketed as a Bolgard 2 Extend Flex, and it will include the tolerance to glyphosate, glufosinate, and dicamba. And with these three modes of actions, will help slow down the process of this selection for herbicide tolerance. Our objectives in the studies were to evaluate dicamba-based pre-emergence and post-emergence herbicide programs in dicamba-tolerant cotton, as well as to quantify the effects of selected herbicide programs on cotton yield. Research was conducted at Edister Research and Education Center through Clemson University in Blackville, South Carolina. We had field studies in 2012 and 2013. We had a randomized complete block design with four reps and four rows per plot, with the middle two rows run as our untreated checks. Our cotton was planted with an Almeca cone seed planter, and our applications were sprayed with the four nozzle boom backpack sprayer using Turbo T-Jet 110-02 induction nozzles at a rate of 234 kilopascals at a volume of 140 liters per hectare. And each plot was naturally infested with pitted morning glory and a mixed population of glyphosate-resistant and susceptible Palmer Amp and many other species. Our data was collected using a percent visual weed control and crop injury on a 0 to 100% scale, with 0% being no control, and 100% being 100% control. We did not note any crop injury in the plots. And we collected our cotton yield using a two-row spindle picker and harvested the two middle rows. Our harvest weights were then converted into kilograms per hectare. And then our data was subjected to ANOVA using our ProcGLM procedure of SAS. Treatments and years were considered our fixed effects and mean separated using Fisher's protected LSD at the 0.05 significance level. Okay, our first study was just a post-emergence only study, looking at an early post and late post comparison. Here with the Palmer Amp control, we noticed in the early post our treatments that included the dicamba had good to excellent control ranging from 88 to 100% for both years. And as you can note, with our glufosinate-only application, we had inconsistent control from 2012 to 2013. As well with our late post, our dicamba seemed to be more consistent from year to year in our applications. And again, with the non-dicamba, we had large inconsistency. And just to note, our early post applications were done at a 10 to 15 centimeter heights of Palmer amaranth and late post of 18 to 30 centimeter heights of Palmer amaranth. This is looking at the pitted morning glory percent controls 2 weeks after our applications. And again, with dicamba, we have more consistent control in our early post, and in our late post, we had excellent control both years. However, with the glufosinate and acetachlor, we did have slightly lower than excellent control with the 87% for 2013. And with our early post, the glufosinate alone in 2012, we had a 71% control, which showed some inconsistency. Our cotton yield in the post-timing study of dicamba cotton. We had slightly higher yields in our early post-treatments, which could be due to the low competition of weeds in the early critical growth stages of cotton. And just a summary of that, like I said, the post-2 treatments provided better control of both weed species than the post-1 treatments in 2012. However, there was more consistency with our dicamba herbicide, and glufosinate-only treatments provided the lowest control of Palmer amaranth and pitted morning glory. Treatments that included dicamba resulted in excellent control of our weeds, and yields in the post-1s were higher due to less competition during early season growth stages of cotton. Our next study was a dicamba weed control systems. Looking at this is only done in 2013. We did not have 2 year replicates, and this is different pre-applications compared with our three different post herbicide programs, and the percent controls listed are 2 to 3 weeks after our post threes. We did gather data on all post and pre-applications, but it was just easier to just list those to make it more visible. And with our looking at treatment three with our acetachlor pre and our only post of glufosinate compared to treatment four, where we added the dicamba in those treatments, we noticed more control of the pitted morning glory from an 87 to a 95%. And as well as in treatment five, we had acetachlor and glyphosate at post one and a glyphosate at post three, where we had dicamba treatment six with acetachlor and glyphosate. And we had higher control of Palmer amaranth from 90% to 97%, as well as in treatment six, we had higher yields. And all treatments provide excellent control of Palmer amaranth with a range of 90 to 100%, but we did see with the dicamba, we had slightly better controls. And the pitted morning glory was controlled with all post-treatments. Our pre-treatments had more variation. Again, sorry they weren't listed, but because of the difficulty to control the larger seeds of our pitted morning glories. And our treatment four yield was significantly lower than all other treatments. And dicamba weed control systems two, we had three different pre's with a fomosafen, a dicamba, and then a no pre, paired with a post one herbicide programs. And we had a post two for treatments 1 through 11, and that included a shot of glufosinate and acetachlor. And our treatment number 12, we went back with a post two of glyphosate alone. We noticed in treatment 4 and 5, we had 80 to 85% from our pre-controls. However, when we went back with that post one, our controls were a lot higher, using the glufosinate and glyphosate paired with the dicamba herbicide. And our no pre with the glyphosate only, we had very low control with a 59% in 2012 and an 85% in 2013. And the pitted morning glory, we had differences between our years, and mainly this is could be due to 2013. We had a very large amount of rainfall that season, which could cause some problems with our pre-emerge herbicides, as well as pitted morning glory being a much larger seed than the Palmer Amaranth. However, we did have excellent control across all of our post-treatments, with the exception of our glyphosate only at 70% in 2012. And this is some pictures showing evidence of our kind of excellent control. This is of our fomosafen pre with a glyphosate and dicamba post. And you see we had excellent control. And again, a fomosafen pre with our glufosinate pair with dicamba. And if you look on the right here, you can see we had a large population of Palmer amaranth in that field. And dicamba seemed to really help control that. This with a dicamba as our pre, followed by a glyphosate and dicamba post one. And again, we had a few weeds in the back side of that plot, but that's still good control. And this is with a glufosinate and dicamba, the post one with a dicamba pre. This is a fomosafen and dicamba pre, followed by glufosinate and dicamba post one. Again, we had a clean plot here. And this is with our no pre, followed by glyphosate, dicamba, and warrant post one. As you can see, we had a lot of yellow nutsedge on the borders of this plot, but the glyphosate probably helped control that. And this is the yield from that study. Looking at the dicamba pre with the glyphosate and dicamba post one was our highest yield. And the dicamba pre with our glufosinate and acetachlor post one was our lowest, along with our glyphosate only treatments. Some results from this study was the glyphosate only treatments without a pre resulted in poor control of weeds as we expected. And our post-treatments provided excellent control of weeds when a pre was used. And a dicamba pre provided similar results as our fomosafen pre. And yields had little variation between treatments. A dicamba pre with glyphosate and dicamba, followed by a post two of glufosinate and acetachlor, our highest yield. And dicamba pre with two posts of glufosinate and acetachlor, as well as glyphosate only, had the lowest yield. So in conclusion, dicamba-based systems provided good to excellent control of Palmer and pitted morning glory. Dicamba plus glyphosate provided better control of all our weeds. And a at plant sole residual pre followed by post provided the best yields, and weed size will still be critical for success of these programs. And I want to thank the South Carolina Cotton Board, Cotton Incorporated, and Monsanto for their funding. And any questions?